Take your Bibles, everybody, and look at Proverbs chapter 17. Proverbs chapter 17 today in God's Word. So the theme for today is the gospel and gladness. And what I'd like to share on this morning is God's Word, a joy of our hearts, or the joy of our hearts. Let me take a little survey here. How many of you would like to be happy? Raise your hands. I see a few of you didn't raise your hand. Well, you're in the right place today because I think we could help you. Okay. How many of you would like to be happy? You know, I want to be happy also. And there's keys and principles in God's Word so that we can be blessed and so can we can be happy. What are some things that people do in the world to be happy? Who can name one? Yoga. Okay, that's an interesting one. Okay, who? What else? Shopping. Shop till you drop. Okay, what else? Trust in the Lord. There's a biblical one. Okay. Yankees games. So long as the Yankees win, you're happy. Okay. What else?
Eat chocolate.
Eat chocolate. There you go. A chocoholic. Okay, what else?
Eat, period.
Okay, what else?
Dancing.
Go to sales. What else?
Sewing.
I wouldn't do that to be happy. What else? Get married. There you go. Okay, what else?
Therapy.
Oh, there you go. Some therapy. All right. What else? What?
Sleeping.
Oh, well, maybe. What else? What? Eat. Okay, we got that. All right. How about go to happy hour? Go to happy hour to be happy. Well, how about watch comedies? Be around happy people. There's a lot of things that people do to want to be happy. And some of them help in our happiness, and some of them kind of promise or deceive us that it's going to make us happy, but it really doesn't. So we're going to look at God's Word today to see a little bit about what the Word says about this so that we can enjoy that from God. So what did I tell you to start with? Proverbs chapter 17. Let's look at that. Proverbs. A lot of you guys said eating. Well, that's interesting. That's very good. All right. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 22. Proverbs 17, 22. Here it says, a merry heart doeth good like a what?
Medicine.
But a broken spirit dries the bones. You know, our attitude or our happy heart affects our health. And this is scientifically proven. Not that we need scientific proof because the Word of God says so. You know, a lot of diseases that people have are stress related. If we have a merry heart, that takes away a lot of stress, doesn't it? They've also done studies when people are happy and blessed and don't have stress, the immune system in the body is not affected as much. So being stressed out or being sad or whatever does have a medical effect on the body. So it says here, a merry heart doeth good like a medicine. So a merry heart is a good thing to have, isn't it? It's a really good thing to have. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, not too far away. Proverbs 15, and in verse 15, Proverbs 15, 15. Proverbs 15, verse 15, it says, all the days of the afflicted are what? But he that is of a merry heart hath a continual what? Feast. So, seems to me a lot of you guys talked about eating, right? That makes you happy. So you would be interested in this verse here. But he that's of a merry heart hath a continual what?
Feast.
Okay. So if we go to parties to be happy, correct? Sometimes, you know, you want to go to a party to be happy. But when the party's over, you go home and the party's over and there you are at home. But if You have a continual feast if you have a merry heart. That means we take the party with us. So no matter where we go, the party's inside of us. And that's a much more effective way of partying, isn't it? Doesn't cost as much. Plus, you bring the party with you. We bring the party with us. So that's a really good thing. So if we're happy then on the inside, then wherever we go, that's where it's at. And that's a really good thing. So being able to have a merry heart is really great. It affects our whole attitude in life. It even affects our health. You know, you guys know we have two children. I want them to be sad all the time because I'm a good daddy, right? Not at all. God wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. So let's look at some of these. Jeremiah chapter 15. Jeremiah 15. This is a classic verse. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. Jeremiah 15. And in verse 16, Jeremiah 15, 16, it says, "Thy words were found, and I did what?" Is that a figure of speech or is it literal? Yes, it is. "Thy words were found, and I did eat them, and thy word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of my heart. For I've been called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts." So God's word here to Jeremiah was the joy and rejoicing of his heart. So how do we then get God's word in our heart so it can be the joy and rejoicing of our heart? Now, we've been taught over the years to get something in our heart. Number one, it's what we take in from the world or from our senses. And then number two, it's what we think about. So number one, it's what we take in. And then number two, what we think about brings something in our heart. Jeremiah, he found the word. It says here, "Thy words were found and I did eat them." He found them and he ate them. He assimilated them. So to get joy in our heart, to have the party inside of us, to have a merry heart, that means we need to take in God's word, and then we need to be able to think about it to the end that it gets in our heart. So let's begin with then taking in God's word. Look at Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Verse 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And in verse 1. Psalm 1, verse 1. It says, "Blessed is the man," or happy. You could translate that happy or blessed. "Happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly." That's not a thing that makes us happy. "Nor stands in the way of sinners," where people are hanging out doing a bunch of things that are off the word. "Nor sits in the seat of the scornful." A scornful person is a despiser. So that is something that doesn't really make us happy either, does it? So, "Blessed is the man, happy is the man that walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and doth he meditate day and night." His delight is in the law of the Lord. Any football fans in here? Do you guys watch football? Yeah. Yeah. How many of you really watch football? I'm talking about committed fans. Do you delight in football? Come on, be honest. Confess your sins then right now. It's not a sin. Now, you are, let me change the pronoun. We, including in this, we make time for football. The reason we make time for football is because why? We like it. We delight in it, and that's okay, right? It's interesting. People make time for the things in life that they delight in, correct? If I like to eat pizza, I make time to what? Eat pizza, So it says here in this verse, it says that we're to delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. If I delight in the law of the Lord, I'm going to make some time so I can eat some of that law of the Lord. How about Psalm 19? Psalm 19, verse 8. Psalm 19 and in verse 8. Psalm 19, verse 8. Here's a good one. The statutes of the Lord are right, making you sad. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the what? From the inside, we put God's word in the heart, and they rejoice the heart. Have you ever eaten a Happy Meal? Now, I've eaten a physical Happy Meal. I got to tell you that I don't know that I was happy afterward. However, this says when we eat God's word, it rejoices the heart. So if we can put a lot of God's word in our heart, then that on the inside then is going to change us. And then we'll be able to have the party inside and take it with us. That'll help us have a merry heart, which will help our health and a lot of different things, which is great. For some people, when the stock market is up, I'm happy. When the stock market is down, I'm what? Sad. Hey, how about this one? When the sun is out, I'm what? Happy. It's a happy day outside. When there's clouds outside, I'm what? You know, it's cold outside and I'm sad. It's warm outside and I'm happy. You know, there's such thing in psychology called the winter blues. You ever heard of that? People get sad in the winter because it's cold. See? Now, is this what we're talking about here? Happy when the sun is out, sad when it's not? No. Happy when the stock market is up, totally depressed when it's down? Life isn't like this. Life isn't like this all the time. Now, sure, it's nice when the stock market goes up. Sure, it's nice when, you know, my sports team wins. Now, I happen to root for a team that loses normally. Now, if I was totally committed to that team, I could have depression at this very time. However, my life is not built on that team, because that is not a very good thing. We have to build our life on God's word. So, rejoicing in the heart, a spiritual happy meal. How about Luke chapter 2? So we take it in, we get it on the inside. And you know, this is nothing new. For those of us who have been around, we've heard some of this for a long time. It doesn't change the truth of it. But sometimes we get busy. Oh, I don't have time. I'm too busy. Well, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Remember that one? How about Luke chapter 2, verse 10? Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says here in Luke chapter 2, verse 10, and the angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. This is the angel talking about the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ was God's word in the flesh, right? So when Jesus Christ comes here, fear not, I bring you good tidings of great joy. Good tidings. A good tiding means, you know, it's a joyful proclamation. A joyful proclamation of great joy. Jesus Christ brought great joy to all of mankind. Look at Romans chapter 1. So joy is associated with Jesus Christ. And that's a really good thing to think about. The more we're aware of the accomplishments of Jesus Christ in our life, and we think about them, that's going to help us. Romans chapter 1 and in verse... Romans chapter 1 and in verse 3. Well, let's start in verse 1. Romans 1, verse 1. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the what? Gospel of God. You know the word gospel? It means a good message. It means a joyful proclamation. Some people translate it as good news. Have you ever heard of movies on demand? Say you want to get a movie on demand. What does that mean? What? You just get it right away, right? Movies on demand. That's a good thing, isn't it? I think so. Have you ever told somebody, you know what? I'm kind of sad. Can you tell me something good news? Have you ever said that to somebody? I'm kind of down. Do you have any good news for me? You know, the Bible is a joyful proclamation. It's good news on demand. Whenever we want it, we can have it. Tell me something good. Okay, God, here we are, the book of Romans. I like that. I like to have good news. I like to have good news. You know, if I want, by the way, I'm on a diet. I'm trying to lose this gut here. Now, if I want to have a body shaped like an Oreo cookie, like this, it might be good to eat thousands of what? Oh, and then I might have a shape. I'll try that after the fellowship today. Now, so what we put into our bodies, you know, it has an effect. Suppose if I want to be happy, I ought to put in my brain what? Good news. The more good news I put in my head, the more joyful proclamation, the more good news, then that's going to be inside of me. I know a guy, he spends at least 5 to 6 hours a day listening to the television and the news. 5 or 6 hours a day listening to the news. He knows CNN. He knows the problems in Europe. He knows the problems in South. He knows it all, and he can tell you. Let me take a little survey. Do you think this fellow is happy or sad? There's nothing wrong with being aware of what's going on, but when I just totally flood my life and mind and heart with all the problems of the world, I'm aware of everything. However, you know, I think there's a better way to live, don't you? So, if we want to be happy, we flood our minds with God's Word. Hey, do you guys like chicken? You ever eat a free-range chicken? What is a free-range chicken? Don't know what a free-range... Nancy, you know what a free-range chicken is. What's a free-range chicken? A chicken that runs around. He eats better things than some of the garbage that they feed chickens. And he's a happy chicken because he has... he eats better. What are we feeding our minds? What do we feed our minds all day long? Look at Proverbs chapter 12, please. Proverbs chapter 12. You know, we need to make some time to study God's Word. You can get up in the morning and read the Word. Or get yourself a project. Maybe I'm going to read the church epistles. Maybe I want to read Timothy. Maybe I want to read the Gospels. You could go back and look at all those books back there. We have a lot of books. Maybe a project would be to read one of the books and read it all the way through. Have a project in your study habits so that we can put the Word of God in our minds. And that's important. It's just not living from fellowship to fellowship. It's having biblical study habits. Look at Proverbs chapter 12 and in verse 25. Somebody want to read this for me? Okay, Bill, you can stand up and blast it out. Proverbs 12, 25.
Heaviness in the heart of man maketh it stoop, but a good word maketh it glad.
A good word makes our heart what? Glad. So, one way to receive the word is to be around fellowships or to go home and study and to work the word in our own life. Another way to receive the word is to be around people who are going to give us the word. So give us that good word which is going to make it glad. We don't want heaviness. We want to be light. We want to be blessed. So first of all, then, we need to put the word in. It's the gospel. It's a joyful proclamation. It's very simple. It's very, very simple. We put it in, and that has an effect on us. It enables us to think in a certain way. Then the next step is to assimilate God's word, to be able to think about it as time goes on. Look at Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. How many of you like to tell jokes? Anybody like to tell jokes? Not a lot of people. Jim and Larry, I know you guys tell jokes. Now, we're not going to have anybody tell any jokes right now because that would be a risky proposition. However, people who tell jokes have to remember jokes, don't they? Have you ever met people, and some of you guys are like this, you could quote comedies, and you can say what this one guy said, and you've seen this movie 12 years ago, and you know exactly the line, and it's a funny line. How do we get to the place where we remember these things? We think about them, don't we? We think about them, and we remember the jokes or the funny lines, and as we're working, as something's going on, then we remember this, and man, it makes us happy. It blesses us because I remember it. It's the same with God's word. We can go and we can hear all the teachings that we want in the world, but we need to remember it, to think about it, so that word really gets in our hearts. Philippians 4, verse 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4 and in verse 4. Philippians 4:4, it says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again I say," what? Rejoice. How can we rejoice in the Lord unless we remember what he's done? We can't, because we don't think about it. So if I'm going to rejoice, which means to have joy, then it's really great to be able to have a knowledge of it so we can think about it. Just like I remember that joke, or the funny thing in the movie, or that funny practical joke I did to somebody a long time ago. When we remember these things, it blesses us. When we remember what God and his son Jesus Christ have done, we can rejoice. How about Acts chapter 2? Acts 2. Acts chapter 2. You guys remember Pete and Paige? Pete and Paige. Remember Pete and Paige?
Yeah.
Some of you guys did. Pete and Paige are a couple people I'm pretty close to, and they're very easy to tease. And I want to tell you a little story. And the reason I'm telling you this is because this is something I've thought about lately that has made me laugh. So I was supposed to meet them at a restaurant in Secaucus. So I got there early and I was over there and Paige didn't see me, and there was Pete and Paige, I think they were there, or maybe Pete hadn't come yet. So Paige was kind of sitting at the bar and I wanted to play a little practical joke on her. So she didn't know that I was there, so I called the waitress over and I asked the waitress to buy the blonde girl at the drink a bar, blonde girl at the bar a drink. So I was sitting over there, she didn't see me. So the cocktail waitress buys, you know, Paige a drink. So there she is, you know, and she's looking around like, who got this? You know, and then Pete comes in and Pete sees that some guy at the bar has just bought his wife a drink. And he was looking around, and then finally I revealed myself. And we had such a good laugh, you know? Now, that was a funny thing, I think. And it blesses me to think about that. It does. And there's nothing wrong with it. It's okay. Now, if I could think of a stupid thing like that and be happy, why can't I think of God's word and be happy? Because that's a lot better than that stupid stuff. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, verse 25. Acts 2:25. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord alway before my face. This is a quote from the Old Testament referring to the Lord Jehovah. I foresaw, or I kept him in front of my face, or I kept him in my thinking, you could say, or set him before you, keep him in view. David foresaw the Lord, for David speak concerning him, I foresaw the Lord alway before my face. He kept God Jehovah in view. For he is on my right hand that I shall not be moved. Once again, he thought about God. He thought about God. How can we think about God unless we remember his word? All right? Verse 26. Why for? Because David kept God in front of him, kept God before his face, kept God in view. Therefore, did my heart what?
Rejoice.
His heart rejoiced because he kept God in view. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was what? Moreover, also, my flesh shall rest in hope. Did David have a lot of problems? David sure did have a lot of problems, yet his heart rejoiced because he kept the Lord Jehovah in his view. He had it in his heart, and then he could rejoice. That's fantastic. There's a great key. We think about it. And my tongue was glad. Okay, everybody stick out your tongue. Okay, now move it around. I see some happy tongues there. It says here, and my tongue was what? Is that what David did? No, it's not what he did. Is this literal or figurative? Figurative. A happy tongue or a glad tongue? What do tongues do? Talk. Okay, I better stop this. We could go too far along that line. You know what tongues do? Tongues talk. So the tongue here is put for what comes out of it is words. So David foresaw the Lord. He had God in front of his eyes. And you know what happened? His heart rejoiced. But something else happened. His words were glad. His words were happy. Here's an interesting thing. How can we tell then if we have a merry heart? Take an x-ray. No, doesn't work. How can we tell? We see what's coming out of our heart. If we have a merry heart, the words that should be coming out of our mouth should be happy, should be positive, should be according to the word, not a bunch of worldly garbage. So David thought about God. He had him in front of him, and look what happened. His heart rejoiced, and also his words were blessed or happy, glad. So that's an interesting one. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5? 1 Thessalonians 5. Like Lance was talking about before, count your blessings. It's very difficult to be negative when we're thankful. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 18. We've all seen people who have tremendous physical problems. Sometimes we've seen people in wheelchairs and they're all bummed out. Then you look at another person in a wheelchair who has a physical problem and they're happy as a clam. Is that a figure of speech? I don't know if clams are happy. What's the difference? The difference is right up here. 1 Thessalonians 5. And in verse 18, 1 Thessalonians 5:18, it says, in everything give what?
Thanks.
In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you get a speeding ticket, in everything give what? I wouldn't necessarily be thankful for the ticket, I have to be honest with you. However, I'm thankful I can walk in the love of God. if you know what I mean, right? So we can be thankful in everything. In everything, give thanks. Instead of looking at the problem and dwelling on the negative, we can be what? Thankful. And that's a big key of being happy. It's a big key of being blessed. How about Luke chapter 6? So we're to rejoice in God. We're to set Him before us. We're to be thankful. How about Luke chapter 6? Luke 6. These are very simple, practical keys so that we can, in our mind then, take God's word and hold on to it. Luke chapter 6 and in verse 20. Luke chapter 6 and verse 20. These are some interesting verses. And he lifted up his eyes on the disciples and said, "Blessed or happy be ye poor, for yours is the kingdom of God," which would be in the future. Verse 21, "Blessed are ye that hunger now." Happy are you that hunger now. When you're really hungry, are you happy? I'm on this diet. I'm not too happy with not eating, I got to tell you. "Blessed are ye that hunger now. Happy are ye that are hungry." I ought to read this because I'm kind of hungry. "Blessed are ye," excuse me, "blessed are ye that hunger now, for ye shall be" what? "In the future. Happy are ye that weep now, for in the future you're going to" what? Isn't that interesting? What's this talking about here? Yeah, in the short term, we might have a problem and it kind of could bum us out. But if we see the hope, if we see the long-term picture and think about what we'll have in the future instead of what we have now, that makes us happy. Isn't that cool? Just like being thankful, instead of being bummed out about the negative situation or the lack, why not be thankful about what we have? Instead of, in these verses, dwelling on the lack, they are happy because they are thinking about the supply they'll have in the future. What an interesting way to fix our minds. Look at this. Verse 22. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you," or "happy. Happy are ye when men shall hate you." I'm not so happy when people hate me. But watch this. "Happy are ye when men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake. Rejoice ye in that day, be happy in that day, and leap for joy, for behold, your reward is" what? "Great in heaven, for in like manner did their fathers unto the prophets." We stand for God, and not everybody's going to like that. However, in the future, we get what? Rewards. So that enables us to be happy, even though not everybody is going to like what we're doing. Isn't that fantastic? What a great way to focus our mind. Let's look at another one. How about 1 Thessalonians chapter 2? So, thinking about expectations in the future. Titus chapter 2 and verse 13. Titus 2. So, thinking about the hope is a great thing. Titus chapter 2, verse 13. It says, Titus 2, 13. "Looking for that blessed or happy hope, and the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ." Of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It's a happy hope. It's a happy hope. Little kids, you know, "Oh, Santa Claus is coming. When's he going to come? When's he going to come?" For 2 weeks before, "When's he going to come?" And then the kids, they don't think about anything else that's going on, all the bad things. They're just thinking about that. Or, "My birthday's coming. I'm going to have a big party." So we forget about the other stuff and we think about something else. How about, "Oh, I'm getting married in 6 months. Whoa, that's good." So people then think about something good in the future and it enables them to continue on in the daily life. The greatest event we have to look forward to in the future is the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, look at another one here. How about Romans chapter 4? Romans 4. It's a happy hope. Romans 4. Romans 4, verse 7. Romans chapter 4, verse 7, it says, "Blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered." This is in the context of righteousness. Blessed or happy are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. If we have righteousness and God's forgiveness, we don't have to walk around and condemn ourselves. We can be happy. You know, a person who walks around and condemns themselves all the time, that's not a happy person, right? Not at all. We don't have to walk around with a bunch of guilt. Because God has forgiven us, we can be happy. Have you ever spent a lot of time with a person who criticizes you? Is that a happy experience? What do you do with a person who's criticizing you all the time? What? Avoid them. What else do you do? Hit them? What else? I see a lot of interesting reactions here. Well, you know, two possible scenarios that were brought up here by this wonderful body. One person says you avoid them. Another person says you hit them. You know, a lot of people criticize themselves, don't they? A lot of people can't stand themselves. So you know what they do to themselves? They avoid them. People can't stand themselves, so they avoid really looking at themselves. Maybe they go to too many happy hours. Maybe they go to California, get a little medical you-know-what to help along the way. You know what? We don't have to avoid ourselves, but we can know that we're righteous. And if we're righteous, we don't have to walk around without guilt. A lot of people in life just are in a lot of bondage because they walk around guilty. I make mistakes all the time. We all make mistakes. One of the greatest things that could ever happen in a person's life is that they get deliverance from condemnation. And look, that's in the context of being happy. What a wonderful word of God we have. How about Ephesians chapter 4? Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 31. Ephesians 4, 31. It says, "Let some bitterness." Let some bitterness. No. Let how much?
All.
Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. How much? And be ye kind one to another, hard-hearted and pissed off at one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath deserted you. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Forgive, let it go. We've all been burned. But if we hold on to it, it makes us miserable. Let it go. It's God's will. I know you've been burned. I've been burned. We've all been burned. Let it go. We have trouble forgiving others when we forget what God has forgiven us for. Let it go. How about Hebrews chapter 12? Hebrews chapter 12. So, we need to forgive. Get rid of the bitterness, and that'll help us be blessed. Hebrews chapter 12. Have you ever been in a bad situation? Sometimes the world sucks. Can I get an amen on that?
Amen.
Have you ever been in a bad situation?
Yes.
Have any of us ever been crucified?
No.
Jesus Christ had a very bad situation. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our believing, who for the what?
Joy
that was set before him. He knew he was the Redeemer, the Savior. He knew God was going to raise him up and everybody had the possibility of eternal life. Who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy that was set before him. Look at the goal, not the task. You want to be blessed? Look for the joy that was set before him. Jesus Christ thought about God's will and what God wanted him to do instead of the misery, the anxiety, the terrible situation he was in. He was in pain. He hadn't slept. He was just bleeding all over the place. People mocked him. It was horrible. He could have thought about all that garbage. Instead, he decided to look at the joy. He looked at what God had told him to do. Sometimes in life, there's some miserable circumstances around us. And I know that. We all know that. Instead of dwelling on the miserable circumstance, we need to put our mind on God's word and the deliverance in the situation. Here's another one. Look at this. It says, he endured the cross, despising the shame. You know what the word despise means? It means to think less of. There he was on the cross and people were nailing him and doing all this stuff. They deserted him. It was a miserable time. Yet he thought less of it. He thought less. He just put his mind away from all the insults, from all the garbage, from all the pain, and he looked at the joy of what God did. Sometimes in life, people are mean to us, and some of us just dwell on the meanness. Oh, that Bill Meininger, he treated me bad 5 years ago, and I think about it every day when I get up. And I'm so blessed to think about that. And I think about it, and I think about it, and I think about it. Oh, it just blesses me a lot. Or say somebody at work does something wrong. Why do we blow it up into some giant thing? Why not put it in perspective in light of the word? Arguably, the worst death that ever happened to anybody happened to Jesus Christ. He thought less of the negative and kept his mind on the word. So that's another wonderful point. Not only to look at the task, the goal, not the task, but think of the word and not the negatives in the situation. So there's a lot of things that we've gone over here. First of all, we need to receive the word. It's the gospel. It's a joyful proclamation. We take it in. And it's a happy meal, quote, end of quote. And we get it and we think about it. And then we take it in and then we assimilate it. We're to rejoice in the Lord, keeping God in our view. We're to think about the happy hope so that we get a good perspective of the future. We think about the hope and what we'll have in the future instead of what we may lack now in certain situations. We're thankful. Even though circumstances might not be so good, we're thankful for all the wonderful things that God has given us. And let me tell you something, we have so much to be thankful for. Instead of dwelling on the circumstance, we're thankful for all we have. We accept God's righteousness and God's forgiveness. We can get rid of bitterness because we accept God's grace in our life. We don't let the negatives of the world affect us, but we think about the goal and not the task. And also, we take the garbage of the world and instead of dwelling on it and making it bigger, we put it in a spiritual perspective, just like Jesus Christ, so that we can have the joy in the walk. So we take it in and then we think about it. And you know what? That's what gets God's word in our heart. We can have a merry heart. We can have a heart that rejoices according to the word of God. After the break, we'll get into how we can live this life then in a joyous way in the walk. And then to close later on, we're going to look at one of the greatest keys in the walk as a Christian believer, and that's the joy of service. So I'd like to pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for taking care of us and for how much you love us. And thank you for the privilege we have to have your word in our hearts. Thank you for these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.